You're listening to The Truth Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Stephen Bartlett is the host of a popular podcast called Diary of a CEO. I think it's great. He always has really interesting guests on the show. And one of the things I love about him is that he's curious. And in this interview, we're going to listen to it in just a second. He has a conversation with John Lennox, who's both an Oxford mathematician, but also a Christian apologist, which means that he debates atheists and agnostics, and he shares the gospel of Jesus. And I think this is a great opportunity for us to kind of sit in on a conversation between a Christian and an agnostic to see how to share the gospel with the guy. Check out how John Lennox did it.
So I guess, how do I identify? Maybe as someone that's agnostic, like I don't really know.
Well, that's okay. But does that mean you're open to know? You'd
yes.
like to know?
Yes.
Well, that's wonderful.
I'm always open.
That's wonderful to see. that seems to me to be exactly the right attitude. Jesus actually challenged someone in his day and says, if anyone wants to do the will of God, he shall know of the teaching, whether I'm speaking from myself or whether it's from God.
We're going to take a look at that verse in just a second, but I love that John Lennox brings this up. We actually bring it up in our Pursuit series also, which is a great series to use to lead someone to faith in Jesus. But check out how Lennox explains this verse.
I notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, if anyone wants to know, he will know. If anyone wants to do, he will know. And the difference between the two, and I'd be interested in your response to it, is that being prepared to do something when you know it is more than just knowing it and possibly just leaving it on the table. In other words, Jesus is interested in people who are going to take the step of trust and following him.
Let's take a closer look at this verse. I think it's really good to understand the context of this and then to learn how to use it when sharing your faith with an agnostic or an atheist or really anybody. It's in John chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus says to this crowd, "My message is not my own. It comes from God who sent me. Anyone who wants to do the will of God," this is what Lennox is saying. He doesn't say anyone who wants to know the will of God. He says, anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or is merely my own. Let's pause for a second and try to understand what Jesus is saying here. And this is what John Lennox is trying to explain. He's saying, look, this isn't like an intellectual pursuit. You know, a lot of agnostics, a lot of seekers, guys like Stephen Bartlett, or maybe your friend at work, they're interested in a debate. They're interested in maybe kind of a theory. They're interested in an exchange of ideas. All of that is good and well, but pay attention how Lennox explains this to Stephen Bartlett. All throughout this interview, he's trying to point Bartlett not just to some ideas, this ideology of Christianity. He's pointing people to the truth of Christianity and how it's connected to the person of Jesus. In other words, he's trying to make Christianity personal and relational, not just like ideological. And actually, if you take a look a little bit higher up in this chapter, John 7, it says in verse 12 that there was a lot of grumbling about Jesus among the crowd. Some argued he's a good man. Others said he's nothing but a fraud who deceives people. So even 2,000 years ago, Jesus is dealing with his own Stephen Bartletts. He's dealing with his own, you know, I don't know, like influencers, people who are just saying, I wonder who Jesus is. I wonder what he's about. And let's remember that this argument, this conversation is not about convincing someone about ideas or doctrines. It's about really discovering who Jesus is, because Christianity is all about Jesus. And pay attention to how John Lennox explains Jesus to Stephen Bartlett. I love what he does when he explains this.
Do you know what it is? I find all explanations as to like the bigger picture
yes.
to be like fundamentally incomplete.
Yes.
Because there's many things you said about the nature of Christianity and religion that I go, amazing, yes, yes, yes.
Yes,
and then there's a couple of things I go, oh, well, and the same when I sit here with a physicist that's telling me about the Big Bang.
Yes.
I have the same thing where I'm going, yes, yes, of course, yes. Oh, we've got evidence that the universe is expanding. Okay, mate. And then they'll say other things and I go, well, that's not complete. And so I find myself sat on the fence.
I actually love this about Stephen Bartlett. That's why I listen to his podcast all the time. He's clearly not a Christian, but I love that he's curious. I love that he's interested. I think you'll notice this in the world today if you're approaching this as an evangelist, someone who's trying to share Jesus with people like this. Pay attention to the curious ones. The curious ones, I think, are the ones that are willing to engage in these kinds of conversations. I love that Bartlett has guys like this on his show. Not only does it give a platform for the gospel to the whole world, but also, like, I really think Bartlett is trying to figure out what the truth is here.
I would love you to convince me. I mean, it's not your responsibility to do so, but where does that journey of believing begin for someone like me? Because, you know, people say the Bible, and I go, well, if you're using something to justify the same thing is true,
yes,
then that circular reasoning I find to be incomplete, because I could write on this piece of paper, Stephen Bartlett is a lizard.
Yes.
And this piece of paper is true. And then you then use that same piece of paper to justify the validity of that same piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, well, that's not solid reasoning.
All right, so before you get to hear what Lennox says in response to this, just pay attention that Bartlett is still thinking about this from a logical point of view. And he's talking to an Oxford mathematician, which is crazy. So it's not like Bartlett knows he's not smarter than this guy, but he's still trying to get over the hump of, like, how can I know it's true? You know, I don't really trust the Bible, so how can I know it's true? Pay attention to John Lennox's answer.
But you see, I could say, Stephen Bartlett, there's a red Ferrari parked in the street outside.
Yeah.
And it's yours if you want to take it. We could sit and discuss it for 1,000 years. You would never know whether I was true or not unless you went and looked.
You see what Lennox is doing? He's coming right back to John 7, where Jesus was saying, it's only those who want to do, if you have like this heart of submission, a willingness to act on what you discover. It's one thing to be curious when you're just sitting there in your studio talking about ideas. It's another thing to be curious and willing to act on it. This is like a heart of submission, a willingness to step out in faith. This is really what Lennox is going to be doing throughout this whole conversation. He's just going to be sort of moving the conversation from this like intellectual debate, which he would clearly win. He's moving it to a heart issue. Like, this is about your willingness to be obedient.
Mm-hmm. And it seems to me, the word skeptic is a very interesting one. I regard myself as a skeptic, but in Greek, skepti means to look at something from a distance. Now, if you are ever going to get to know a person, you've got to begin to give up your distance. You will know that from everyday life. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me one of the things to try to begin to grasp is God is not a proposition or a philosophy or even a religion. God is a person.
See what he's doing? He's talking about God in a personal way. Stephen Bartlett doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. Later in the interview, he talks about the fact that he grew up Christian, and then at like 18, he deconstructed his faith when new atheism came around. And Bartlett is just thinking about this, I think, probably more culturally. I think my sense is that Bartlett is a cultural Christian. It's good for us to know, kind of have a sense for who we're talking to. I think Bartlett was a cultural Christian. He grew up in London, so he grew up in a culture maybe where Christianity was an idea, it was an ideology, it was kind of this old, dead religion, and Lennox is trying to describe something different.
As a person, he has entered our world, however incredible that may seem. What really completes the circle for me is that my relationship with God is a relationship which is based on the solution to the really hard problem. And that is the problem that I, by nature, have not always done good.
So what Lennox is going to do here is he's going to pivot now to talking about sin. And I think this is really instructive. If you're going to share the gospel with somebody, now he's doing it all in one sitting. Hopefully you're doing it with a friend or a family member over the course of maybe several weeks or months or a relationship. So maybe he wouldn't have done this, except that this is the format of a podcast interview. But pay attention to how he talks about sin. If you're going to share the good news with somebody, you better be willing to share the bad news. In the Pursuit series, if you're going to use that at pursuegod.org to disciple somebody, which we really recommend that you do. This is chapter 4, lesson 4 in the pursuit. If you don't know the problem, then you're not going to be interested in the solution. And I love that Lennox is talking about the problem in terms of his personal experience. He's not saying, Stephen Bartlett, you're a sinner. He's saying, I'm a sinner. I'm broken. He's taking personal responsibility for this. I think that's really refreshing. But he's setting up the sin problem so that he can get to the solution, which he's going to do in just a second.
And by my own standards, I've failed. Now, all this talk of transhumanism, AI, and everything else, what it's trying to do is to build paradise, utopia, without facing the problem of the damage that humans have caused to themselves and one another. They will not face the sin problem. Christianity, to me, doesn't compete with anything else. Nobody else offers me peace. The peace of knowing that I have real forgiveness.
All right, so now he's going to really transition from the sin problem to the solution in Jesus, and he's framing it in terms of forgiveness, which is a great way to frame it, right? That he has this incredible forgiveness through his relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, he's going to explain the gospel and faith in just a little bit, but he's framing it in terms of something that I think most people in the world really long for, whether they know it or not. Everybody longs for reconciliation, for forgiveness. I think everybody recognizes that we all feel guilty, we all feel unworthy, and this is what he's addressing here.
The peace of knowing that I have a friend and a companion to whom I can talk all the time, that's been so meaningful in my life as I spell out in detail my autobiography, and the peace of having been given a new life that will not end when I die. I'm 82 now. I'm probably more than twice as old as you are. As I look towards the future, I have in my heart a certainty, not because I've merited it, the exact opposite, because I couldn't merit it, but because Christ has done something for me through the cross and the resurrection. That may sound all mumbo jumbo at the moment, but has done something that enables me to have a relationship that is secure, that floods over the whole of life.
I love this because, I mean, if you read the book of Acts in the New Testament, you'll notice that every time anyone shared the gospel, it was forgiveness, peace through Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection. This is the gospel message. These are the basics. I love that this brilliant Oxford mathematician is just simply sharing the basic message of the gospel that's been around for 2,000 years. We don't have to complicate it. We don't have to be like super intelligent. Clearly, this guy is intelligent, but Jesus recruited a bunch of fishermen and tax collectors who weren't that smart. Probably they couldn't even read. And they're the ones who started this whole movement after he, you know, died, rose again, and ascended to heaven. And I love that this brilliant mathematician is just doing the same thing that fishermen and tax collectors did 2,000 years ago. It's the same thing that every Christian throughout the centuries has done. You just share the hope that we have in Jesus, his death and resurrection. And this is what Lennox is doing.
I think everybody, especially in a world that's getting increasingly lonely and disconnected and isolated for many reasons, is looking for that secure relationship.
They are.
They're looking for their own, you know, a home that can't fall down.
Yes.
If I could choose that, if I could press a button and have it, I would have it. But there's this other part of my brain which will naturally interrogate whether it's real or it's true.
You're absolutely right.
So there Bartlett is again. And this might happen in your situation when you're sharing the gospel. You're trying to keep it simple, stick with the basics, but you can see that Bartlett is still wrestling with this. He's still a skeptic, which that's understandable. And I love how Lennox addresses it. He's just going to continue to nudge him forward toward being willing to do something, to take a step of faith, to be willing to be obedient to Jesus, and he's going to do that through his own story.
Why am I sitting in front of you talking about this stuff? Because I've interrogated myself about it and its truth for over 70 years. I've made myself totally vulnerable. That's why I got into all the debates with new atheists and all the rest of it, because I want to be sure. But it won't come about by pressing a button. It will come about if you're open enough to say, God, I'm open. Reveal yourself to me, and I'm prepared to take the steps that I feel are leading me onto solid ground. I do not believe that this is a process of taking a leap into the dark, but it's making a commitment on the basis of what you know already and taking a step further forward.
Again, it was the basic message of the verse that he shared at the very beginning. It's actually the only verse he technically quotes in his whole conversation. John 7:17. Anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or is merely my own. So if you're a skeptic, if you think it's just about head knowledge, you're never going to get there. Unless you're ready and willing to take a step of faith, put yourself out there, become vulnerable, really investigate who Jesus is, be willing to submit to his teaching. Unless you're willing to do that, you'll never know whether Jesus' teaching or any of the Bible is true.
I trust my wife. I've been married to her for 58 years this year. It's evidence-based trust. I don't trust her for no reason. And the same is true of my friends, as would be the case with you. Evidence-based trust in science and in Christian things. I don't regard myself as religious particularly. And the reason is this, and it's an important reason. Most religions prescribe a moral way that you try to follow, and you've teachers, gurus, imams, all the rest, priests, to keep you on the way, and then you come to a judgment at the end, and I usually draw a scale of justice. And if your good deeds tip over the bad deeds, then you get into whatever it is, heaven, nirvana, all the rest. That's religion. It's not Christianity, though many people think it is.
I love what Lennox is doing here. He's getting now to the gospel of grace message. You know, a lot of people, so probably Stephen Bartlett or anyone that you might be talking to at work or in your neighborhood or at home or at school or whatever, a lot of people just have this default understanding of religion. And this is what Lennox is explaining, you know, that we're saved by our good deeds outweighing our bad deeds. I think that's probably in the Western world, that's probably the what everybody thinks. In fact, not just the Western world, even in Islam, this is what Muslims believe. But this isn't what Christianity is. And so he's getting to the gospel of grace now. Ephesians 2:8-9 is a good Bible verse to share when you're doing this with somebody. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. So this is like a great summary of the gospel message. Stephen Bartlett, even though he grew up in a Christian home, he probably doesn't know this. Now, it might be going over his head, but this is what Lennox is sharing now. He's talked about sin. He's talked about a relationship with Jesus. He's talked about forgiveness. And now he's talking about how to get all of that. You get it by placing your trust in Jesus Christ. Christianity is a different religion from every other religion in the world because it's not about what you can do. It's about what Jesus did.
Because if you ask them, are you a Christian? They say, well, I do my best and I hope that God will be kind. That isn't Christianity. It's the exact opposite of Christianity. That's a merit-based religion. And you see, the irony of all this is that we would never, or at least I don't know, some people might, but in a human relationship, we don't base our affection and relationship with someone on the basis of their merit. I have a little analogy I use that sometimes tickles people's minds. I say that I met a beautiful girl on my second day at Cambridge. I'd been warned she might be there, and she was, sitting in church. And I decided that I'd like to marry her. So I bought the most expensive cookery book I could. And I came and I handed it to her. And she said, what's that? Well, I said, you know, we have an interesting tradition in our family, you see. And if anybody gets married, they give the potential bride a cookbook. Why? Well, look at page 152. Here's the laws for making an apple cake. And I like apple cake. So law 1222, take so much flour, sugar, sugar. Now I said, it's going to be like this. If you keep those rules, for the next, let's be generous, 40 years or so, I will accept you. Otherwise, you can go back to your mother. Now, when I say that to an audience, they rock about with laughter. But it's exactly the way many of them have been taught to think about God. Keep the rules as best as you can and hope that God is generous. When actually, I did no such thing. I've given my wife several cookbooks, but they're not the basis of the relationship. And because the relationship is based on acceptance that comes at the start of the common journey, It sets her free to live and do other things that she wants to do. And I have noticed often that once people begin to realize that, they're beginning to understand a basic concept, which is grace, that God does everything. And if we trust him, he it is that gives us the certainty. So it's not arrogance to accept it from him. It's arrogance, actually, to reject and say, oh, no, no, I'll go my own way and I'll try my best and hope that you will accept me. And the heart of the Christian message, which I believe is there, is that the trust is based on what someone else has done, what Christ has done, not what I have done. And that's what's given me the power. And as I said earlier, completed the circle and enabled me to live.
I love how he's making this so personal. He's talking about a relationship with his wife, which is something that Bartlett can't relate to, because Bartlett, he talks a lot about the fact that he dates and he sometimes shares that they have issues. And it sounds like he's living like your typical 30-something best life now, but there's no marriage, there's no covenantal love. So I don't even know that Bartlett can understand this. I wonder if Bartlett has ever read words like this in John 15, where Jesus is talking to his disciples before he goes to the cross. He talks about love and connection. I've loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. This is my commandment. Verse 12, love each other in the same way I have loved you. Verse 13, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And so I think Bartlett and probably some of our friends, people that we're trying to share the gospel with, I don't think that they necessarily have a picture of Christianity or Jesus or, you know, becoming a follower of Jesus as being about a relationship with a person. Again, I think a lot of them today are thinking about an ideology or maybe, a church building or a way to spend a part of your Sundays. That is not at all what Lennox is explaining to Bartlett.
That was a really beautiful description and definition of what the Christian faith is about. It still leaves me with a question about whether it's true. And this is the sort of central question that I need to find my way over.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely.
And this is, I find myself often, I've sat with a few Christian apologists and asked them similar questions about how do I know if it's true? And I guess so far I've got, you know, if there's a red Ferrari outside, you'd have to go outside and see for yourself. That's the only way you're going to know. But how do you know that this thing you've committed yourself to and you've believed and, you know, talked about for 70 years of your life is true? And could it be the case that it's not true?
Okay, let's handle that. That's a hugely important question. I have two approaches to this, which I call, roughly speaking, objective and subjective. And it depends entirely where someone's coming from. They may start very far back and say, look, we read about this chap Jesus. How do we know he ever existed? Well, then you go to the ancient historians and you find that most of them, whether they're atheists or not, believe that he existed and so on.
I accept that he existed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a good start. You know, some of the disciples, when Jesus rose from the dead, they just didn't believe the story. Ridiculous. And there's a famous story of Thomas, who said to the others, he said, unless I see the marks in his hands and so on, I won't believe. And then Jesus stood among them. And he didn't make fun of Thomas's objective. He said, Thomas, come and have a look.
This is a kind of a reason that I give a lot of times to skeptics or to agnostics when they say, I don't know if I can believe the Bible. I don't know if I believe it's true. For me personally, we talk about this in Lesson 2 of The Pursuit. I think, for me, maybe the most convincing evidence is the lives of Jesus's followers. Now, I know a lot of religious leaders have followers, but his followers bailed on him at the cross. And then suddenly, a few days later, they're following him, and almost all of them give up their lives. They die for him. What changed? What happened? In my mind, logically, and I think Lennox probably would be, this is what he's arguing with Thomas, like a mathematician's going to say, something had to happen. They were convinced for their lives to be so drastically changed. They must have seen the resurrected Jesus. In fact, even Jesus's brother, James, who didn't believe in Jesus when Jesus was doing his ministry. It actually says it right there in John chapter 7, the verse we've been looking at. They didn't believe, his own brothers were skeptics. His own brothers didn't believe in him. And then later on, James becomes a leader in the church. We see him in Acts 15. He writes the book of James that we have in our Bibles. What happened? Corinthians tells us that the resurrected Jesus appeared not just to the apostles like Thomas, but he also appeared to James, and James believed. So this isn't necessarily going to convince a skeptic, but for me personally, and I think Lennox is saying the same thing, I think it's really good to share this as proof, even though it's not, you know, at the end of the day, going to push anyone over the edge. It might be helpful for someone who's a skeptic.
Could you be wrong that Christianity, so could it be the case that Christianity was about a real guy called Jesus, based on a real guy called Jesus, but the stories told, you know, there was decades passed between the things that happened and people...
Not so much as you'd think, actually.
What, for 4 decades for the first...
When you say to me, could you be wrong? My academic mind says, theoretically, yes. But practically, no. Could I be wrong? It would be like asking me, John, you know, you've been married to Sally for 58 years. Could you be wrong that she loves you? Well, theoretically, yes. But actually... the evidence all points in the other direction. But in the end, you won't know until you step into the water. And then you find that Christ is there to catch you.
And what did you find in the water when you stepped into the water?
Well, I was very young. You see, my parents taught me quite clearly that I wasn't born a Christian. You become a Christian by trusting Christ. That's to have somebody born or made a Christian by some ceremony is absurd to my mind.
See, Lennox is referencing this idea that probably Bartlett has, that Christianity is just sort of, it's like a family thing. You know, my dad was a Christian, my grandpa was a Christian, my great-grandpa, I mean, and this is kind of how it is in Europe. You know, there's so much dead Christianity, probably that might be what Bartlett has experienced. That might be all that Bartlett has experienced, is dead, you know, passed down the lineage Christianity, not real, genuine relationship with Jesus. And this is what Lennox is trying to explain.
And so, in my simple way, I responded as a child. I didn't have any great feelings or anything else. But what happened to me as I grew up, especially as I went to university in Cambridge, and I decided, look, I really believe this stuff is true. I'm going to stand for it. And it was when I began to stand and share with others that a great deal of the underpinning came in and the certainty came.
I love that Lennox says this. And this one, we're going to end here. This one is just for you. If you're a Christian listening to this or watching this, and you're sharing your faith with a skeptic, man, I'm going to just encourage you to keep doing it. I hope this was helpful. But I love what he said right there, and it's what we talk about in The Pursuit, is at the end of the day, we grow as Christians, we mature as Christians by sharing the gospel, by defending the gospel, what he's doing here. He's been doing it for 70 years, however long he said. That's how we grow. So if you're even watching this thinking, I don't know if I'm ready, I'm not that smart. And maybe you're saying, you know, I don't think that I could do this. I don't think that I could share Jesus with my coworker, my neighbor, my family member, whatever, who's an agnostic, they're smarter than I am or whatever. This guy's smarter than I am. There's no way. Just remember, he kept it so simple. He shared about his wife. He shared about relationship. He shared about his personal experience with Jesus. I love that. He did what all the Christians did in the book of Acts whenever they shared the gospel. Don't complicate it. Just share. Keep it simple and share the truth in love. And guess what? This is what he's saying, is when you do that, when you step out and do that, you'll actually go deeper and deeper and deeper in your own faith. That other person, Stephen Bartlett, he might not come to faith, but your faith will deepen if you learn to share it with others.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.